Because we're always like, no, it's going to be different this time if I chase this person who constantly ghosts me. It's going to work out differently this time. And it's like, yeah, it's going to be worse. Yeah. It's going to be worse.
And I'm going to change that person. He will change for me. He won't, bitch.
No, nobody's going to change for you. If somebody is not enthusiastically choosing you, it's not going to work out.
Are you a waste man?
Letters to waste men.
All right.
All right.
Hi, Odie.
Hello.
Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
How are you today?
I'm pretty all right. It's another dark, cold winter day here in Minnesota, so.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, you're Minnesota-based?
Yeah, I'm in Minnesota in the United States.
But, yeah, I'm pretty excited about this episode because it's the first time recording a podcast with someone I've never met.
Yeah, before. We've never spoken ever. So yeah. This is really interesting.
Yeah, maybe for the audience. So they posted a story on Instagram with a call for people making podcasts. Yep. Let me join.
Yep.
And I slid in them DMs and here we are.
Here we are.
So I love the initiative. I really appreciate you being here as well, by the way.
I appreciate you inviting me. I love when it's just totally someone random that I've never talked to. And I'm just like, I don't even know what this is going to be like. I don't know what this is going to be about, but let's go.
I've been following you for a while on social media. So yeah, you can introduce yourself. Who are you?
So I'm Odie Spinelli. My pronouns are they, them. And I make memes on the internet, but I also consider myself a writer. The memes I make, I started out making your typical, like, funny, haha, you know, whatever memes. Uh-huh. And then a few years ago, it kind of just, like, morphed into this really, like, sincere, like, earnest, like, kind of cringy, like, self-growth kind of, you know, page. But the way that I like to explain it is that, like, everything that I do with my internet page, which is called Not Your Boyfriend, is it all links back to collective liberation, right? Like, because everybody, you know, we talk about, like, you know, how the world is hard on us and capitalism beats us down and all these systems and all these, like, you know, levels of oppression and stuff like that. But from my experience, like, if I'm not doing my work on myself, I'm not going to be able to show up properly in these, like, community spaces where there's organizing taking place and stuff like that. And if we can't manage our conflicts within our own communities, how are we supposed to abolish the police? You know what I'm saying? Or anything like that. So it's all really connected. Yeah. And so I've decided to just kind of, like, focus what I do on there with, like, helping myself and other people, like, figure out, like, how do we navigate conflict and kind of just, like, become the best people we can, how we navigate through the world.
Yeah, yeah. The impact on the close circle is already, like, meaningful. So yeah, you've been sharing a lot on your stories about COVID and, like, local issues.
Yeah, so I do a lot of stuff in my real life too. Like, what I do for work is I do syringe exchange and HIV and hepatitis C testing prevention and linkage to care. So I do a lot of that. But then even outside of that, just, like, in my personal day, I do a lot of, like, encampment outreach because we have a lot of people that are living outside here in these negative 20 degree winters and there's no housing. There's not enough shelters available. There's not adequate shelters available that meet people's needs, any of that. So I'm a part of a lot of different mutual aid and community groups where we come up with funds and, like, pool together resources and make sure people don't freeze to death and stay warm and have the things that they need or want to survive and, like, live a dignified, meaningful life, even without housing, which is, like, fuck our mayor. Yeah. But so it's just trying to do what I can in my community on a daily basis.
And with all of those sort of very engaged in the community, how do you treat your own problems if there is, like, so much you like, care for from, like, out of your life problems? How do you make sure the balance is still there?
Yeah, I mean, that's hard. The thing is I feel like it's not the things that I do that I care about that take that from me. What takes that from me is having to work 40 hours a week. Having to work 40 hours a week to survive is exhausting, and I'm lucky that I get to do work that serves the community. But having to work 40 hours a week, how are you supposed to handle your problems or have any emotional energy or, like, anything like that to
space,
give? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Exactly. So it's like when I feel drained and I barely have it in me to take care of myself, it's never the fault of the extra things that I do community work outside of work. It's the fact that I have to work 40 hours a week to survive, and like I know where to place that. But I make the time. I know how to check out. Like a lot of people that work in the field that I work in or do the kinds of like activism and mutual aid work that I do don't know how to. It's a learned skill. I didn't know how to a long time ago, but how to like turn it off and be like, okay, I'm going home now and these hours are mine. And it doesn't matter who texts me or what, you know, loop on Signal is blowing up or whatever. This is my time to take care of me. And I need that because I've run myself ragged too many times. And when I do that, I have nothing left to give. You know, like we have to take care of ourselves. Otherwise, I mean, it's so cliche, but you're not going to be able to show up if you're literally broken on the floor and you haven't eaten and you haven't rested and you haven't paid your bills.
So this episode, I like plan to talk about your platform, how you built a big platform, also about you as a person and also about Waste Men. I don't know if you heard about the concepts, but I think it would be interesting.
I can tell you, so I have, you know, friends who live all over the world and I did not know what that term meant. And so I did a Google. And then I also went to my group chat, which is just like me and like my five best memer friends on Instagram. And I pop in there and one of those friends lives in Ireland and is from Ireland. And another one of those friends lives in New York City, but lived in the UK for a while. And so I was like, hey, so I specifically asked, but my friend in Ireland is very into like, you know, UK culture, grime, all that stuff, whatever music scenes. So I was just like, I'm going to ask these two people. And, you know, they told me, but I was also told to just say, Dappy's a waste man. So I'm supposed to say that.
Okay, personal message to Dappy. Get it together, fam.
It's like apparently some old joke about some rapper or something. I don't know, but there you go, Liam. I said it. Dappy's a waste man.
For me, it's a broad term. And I apply it to any domain of society, love, friends, professional life. You have waste men everywhere. And it's also, there's a waste man in all of us. There is like a genuine waste man. It's literally any person can be a waste man. So
there's a waste man in all of us.
Yes.
I like that. Okay. So my friends kind of explained it's like a dickhead, but like that term is used differently overseas than it is here in America. I also, when I was looking it up, Canadians, I forget which part of Canada, they think they came up with the term. Yeah.
Ontario, for sure.
Yeah. And so there's a lot of, like a lot of different, I was learning kind of just about like the history and the, because I was like, what is this word? We don't use that here. Yeah, we don't use that here. So the linguistics of waste men.
Yeah, but there's a lot of UK influence in Toronto, right? Like with Drake, and he's very involved in the UK.
It's not
and,
just that. My friend Liam, the one in Ireland, was saying it's actually, I think, like, very Caribbean and like how that's kind of just been appropriated in those places. Yes, exactly. Jamaican. Yep. And how it's kind of really how there's a lot of Jamaican influence in Canada and that's why. And so that was really interesting to learn how it gets attributed to being some like white European thing when actually it sounds like it's a Jamaican thing. Yeah, so that's kind of interesting too.
I mean, there is diaspora anywhere. Exactly. So you get all of these influences.
Yeah.
Which makes it interesting. But there's a waste man in all of us and we should just face it and get to know that part of us and improve on it.
Have you heard
evolve from it?
Have you heard of shadow work and like shadow your shadow work? Self?
Is it your like fix your emotional baggage?
It's not about fixing it. It's about so your shadow self. It sounds like the waste man inside of you actually. So it's like this concept of like taking the part of you that is a waste man, right? Or like, you know, fucks up or is harmful or like whatever, and loving that part of yourself and incorporating it into who you are and like figuring out why you are that way and like, you know, really like absorbing that part of yourself and loving that part of yourself instead of just being like, that's not who I am or, you know what I mean, whatever, denying those parts of yourself. And so it's kind of cool that without even knowing about like shadow work and your shadow self and all that stuff, you're kind of like doing that with the term waste men, which I think is way cooler and like way less like middle-aged, like Zen white lady.
There is I think waste man traits, they can be deeply rooted. And for example, there's people that are never on time and they will never change. And I think if you accept that fact about then your friend, just it is what it is, you know that person will not show up on time. But there is other traits that people sometimes use as an excuse. You just got to take me as the person I am. And of course, but that shouldn't be an excuse to improve upon yourself.
Exactly.
To keep on lacking.
To have the self-awareness and not do anything about it is a little weird sometimes with certain mm-hmm. things. Like if you're just late a lot, you're late a lot. Like I have friends that are late a lot. And so I just tell them, like, if I need them to be ready and I'm going to pick them up at, say, I really need them to be ready at 5:00, I'll be like, I need you to be ready at 4:30. Mm-hmm. Out the door exactly. by 4:30.
How you nail it.
Yeah, I will negotiate with your dysfunction. We can do that.
Do you think waste manism could be an inspiration for your memes and for the content?
Oh, absolutely. Honestly, yeah. I'm like, I might have to give you some credit and just be like, you know what? We're not talking about shadow selves anymore. It's the waste man inside of us. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, about your platform now, where did it all begin?
Well,
so it's on Instagram, right?
Yeah. So
is it only on Instagram?
Yes, that's the only place I really do social media. I don't have a Facebook anymore. I have a Twitter. I don't use Twitter. Mm-hmm. I've tried to like mm-hmm. get into tweeting. I've been like, all right, you guys, this is the year. Like, I'm going to tweet. And like, I'll do it for like a day. And then I'm like, this isn't fun. And so I just like stop. But so I originally started making memes on Facebook, though, back in like 2015.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course you did.
And I have my friend Hell to thank for making memes, honestly. On Instagram, she's lilperk666. But she like, she had all these meme pages on Facebook back in the day, and she would just like put you on. She would put anybody on. She'd be like, oh, you want to make memes? Here's what apps I use. I'm putting you on this page, you know? And so I got put on one called That Gay Shit, one called Genderqueer mm-hmm. Gengar. And then she like recruited a bunch of us to make a new one, and it was called Call Your Sponsor Sweaty. And it was a bunch of like memers that were either in recovery from substance abuse or in a relapsey space but had been in recovery, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And so it was kind of cool because if you look at the names of who it was, a lot of them are still big players on Instagram. So it was like Lil Perk, myself, Namaste at Home Dad, Gay Vape Shark, RIP, Scariest Bug Ever, Thought Catalog, who is one of my favorite people in the world. So it was really interesting because it was just like this weird mix of people who ended up becoming like pretty big meme pages on Instagram, making memes about doing heroin and stuff. So it was just
you'll have
like,
to send me all of those names, by the way.
I will. Absolutely. I love all those people. But it's weird because it's like we all started just like it was all fun back then. You know what I mean? And that's all we were doing. And then people slowly started moving over to Instagram. And I moved over to Instagram in, I think it was early 2018, but not with the page that I have now. I was dating a girl back then who I convinced to start making memes too because I thought she was funny. And so I was like, let's just make an Instagram together. And so we made one together. And then we had a horrific breakup in the summer of that year.
Love that.
And for a day I was like, I'm keeping the page because I got you into doing this in the first place. And then that turned into like some big shit show. And I was like, no, I'm starting fresh. And I just like nuked it and started a new one the August of that year. And that's how long I've been doing what I'm doing now.
Yeah. In 2018.
So like summer of 2018. Yeah.
And it has been growing.
Yeah.
Like steadily.
Yes.
Or yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. 100K used to feel like this thing that wouldn't happen. I remember when I got 10K and I got swipe up links and I was like, oh, I'm like so cool. I can put links in my story now.
You should be a verified page.
They don't verify people. It's actually really funny. My group chat of memers, I don't know if right now we are because we always change the name of our group chat, but it was Unverified Bestie Club. Because like we were joking about how like, yeah, exactly. Like we're not verified. I'm like, is it too cringe to have a blue check or is it actually a good like career move? And when did memes stop being fun and become a career move? You know what I
mean? Yeah,
it's
yeah,
just
exactly.
Like really weird. It's so weird. Maybe what's happened.
Maybe that just keeps the authenticity in there.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I mean, you're... It's like the, I think the vibe you want to create is also, it's don't take everything too seriously, like be self-aware, but
yeah.
And I think with a verified page, that would be ironic.
I feel
sometimes.
Like it's kind of cringe. I feel like I just, yeah. I don't feel like I would ever apply for that. I don't know. I just,
Yeah.
I feel like that would literally turn it into something that's not fun for me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when the goal originally is like to get that dildo ad, right? Because I don't
really?
I don't know if you've noticed, but like memers tend to get approached by sex toy companies a lot to post ads for them.
Okay.
And so like back in 2018, that was like Aiden Arata recently wrote like a piece about this, about like memers and sex toy ads. It's really good. I'll send you the link. But
mm-hmm.
back then that was like the heyday of like memers and sex toy ads. And I remember when I got my first dildo deal. And they send you free merch and then they give you money, you know, and you're like, oh my God, I have dildos and money. And like,
that's life. I mean, I wish I could relate.
Right. But that used to just be like the peak. Like I made it. I got the deal. Yeah. I got the deal from Unbound Babes or Adam and Eve. And now I made it. And now I'm just like, how do I get out of doing dildo ads and still have enough money to pay the rent? Like,
yeah, are they still approaching you?
I've been working with Adam and Eve consistently since 2019.
Yeah.
So yeah. I've been in a contract with Adam and Eve. Like whenever it ends, we do a new one. So like, if you ever need 50% off plus free shipping, I'll give you a call.
For sure. Oh my God. But let's add a team to the podcast, Sex Toys. What would you recommend? What is your ultimate sex toy?
That depends. I mean, everybody who has a clitoris, I think, should have a Hitachi magic wand, but I recommend getting the plus because then it has more settings, speed settings, and the one that plugs into the wall, because the chargeable ones, you're always going to end up in a moment where it dies and then you're going to cry.
I went to Hamburg not too long ago, which is a very interesting city in Germany. They had like a big sex industry, but yet no women were allowed in the prostitute streets, and it was,
what if you're gay?
Yeah, I mean, and we also went to a strip club.
Did you have money?
No,
you don't go to
no.
Okay, I'm gonna advocate for all my sex work friends right now. You do not go to a strip club without money.
I had 5 euros. Okay, mistakes were made. Not gonna lie.
Mistakes are made.
But
see, own it. Your inner waste man took you to that strip club broke.
Exactly. But they didn't even give us the chance. Like, they were just looking at us like, the fuck are you doing here? And maybe they sensed something.
Strippers get some good intuition. A lot of my friends are strippers, and they will tell you the types that come in without money and won't spend money. And like, the worst you'll get is like a couple where there's like the guy and his girlfriend, or like
yeah.
I hear a lot of bad stories.
Or a group of four girls, of four white girls of like 24.
A bachelorette guys. Party.
Yeah.
I hear a lot of bad stories about those.
Yeah. Oh my God. And there was no one in there either. There was no audience, no crowd whatsoever. And then we just started dancing ourselves. And first we were like, maybe that's also disrespectful, but they were constantly on their phones and they were like super arrogant and bored. And we were just like, okay, whatever.
See, that's actually the horror stories a lot of my friends who dance tell me about the bachelorette parties is they go, they get drunk, and then they want to be the strippers. And how it's,
oh my God.
You were that person. I hate to tell you.
I was that person.
You were that person. Like, do you go to a bakery and start trying to bake?
No.
Yeah, dude.
But it didn't. Okay, hear me out. It inspired me, because who is taking pole dance classes now? It had to happen.
I'm going to ask you to pay reparation. Make your amends. Go to a strip club and just drop 100 on the stage and walk out.
To compensate my mistake.
To make up for the past mistake.
Yeah.
Well, think about how many people came in and did exactly what you did. Think on a date. That's their job every day.
Yeah.
And think about how many times they get a tourist walk in.
Yeah.
You know, and then they're not making any money because there's not other people in there. I'd be fucking irritated, too.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be irritated, too.
I know.
I'm devil's advocate today.
No, it's true.
Yeah.
It's true. I agree. But I also think the sex industry in Hamburg is women unfriendly and that should change. Anyways, back to the platform, Not Your Boyfriend. What inspires you? Because if you work 30 hours a week, must be a challenge.
Yeah, well, and if you notice, I've only made like one new post this year so far. I'm kind of in a creative slump right now, which doesn't feel good, but I have some content and I'm going to make something today and post it, and that feels good. Really honestly inspires me, it's kind of good when I'm not posting a lot because my posts...
Quality over content.
Well, not only that, but my posts are actually inspired from my personal problems. So when I have a problem in my own life and I deal with it, making a meme about it is like the last part of the process of like getting through that problem. And so if I'm not posting a lot of new content, it means I'm doing all right and I don't have a lot of emotional and psychological and personal or interpersonal problems going on.
Like, you're not going through the trenches.
Yeah, my relationships like... I've probably made less memes in the past 12 months because I'm in a healthy relationship now. Mm-hmm. And before, I was in this like toxic dating cycle. And so I constantly had new content, right? Nonstop. And now I'm like, damn, I got this like healthy girlfriend and we're doing good. And like, there's not a lot of problems.
Let's get some drama.
Yeah, I'm like, fight with me so I can make memes. I'm just kidding. But like, you know what I mean? I'm like, I got to think outside of the box and like figure out where to pull it from. And so I'm going to start, you know, doing stuff that's a little more personal to me and like having to do with my own stuff. I'm sorting through grief, just processing. Yeah. Like right now, I'm really depressed over the fact that it's just really hitting me as I get older that we get one life. And every day we sell it to somebody else and I don't get to do or enjoy the things I really want to. And that the economic problems caused by capitalism are likely going to cause me to not get to live the kind of life I want to. And then I will die. And that is the one life that I had and it's been stolen from me. And I'm really angry. And there's probably going to start being a lot of content about like the emotional process of that. Which I don't know if people will want to stick around for. I guess we'll find out.
Yeah. And do you mean sell it to another person because you work for someone
Wage labor. Yeah. It's like all of your time, all of my time and all of my energy. And then at the end of the day, I come home and I'm tired and I don't want to do anything. I don't have enough time off work to travel. I don't, you know, and then we're in a pandemic too. So it's just like... It literally feels like my existence is being stolen from me. And I know that's happening to all of us globally. And it's really sad.
It's but like, don't you think you have free will to still choose?
I do. But I was also like, I don't know if you know any of my backstory, but like a lot of people can't afford to just have free will. Like I was born into poverty and I was kicked out of my house when I was 12 years old and I've been on my own ever since. I was homeless for the better part of a decade. I've spent my entire adult life trying to build stability for myself. And that means working this 9-to-5 job that keeps me afloat while I try to get out of the debt I had to go into. Because I live in America. I had to go deep into debt to go to college so I could not be homeless anymore. So I don't really have the free will to just be like, well, I'm going to go quit my job and travel the world because should I choose to do that, I'm just going to end up in a really bad place again.
Yeah.
So
I can't imagine.
Yeah. So it's really not that simple. You don't really have free will when the system of capitalism is in control of all of your choices and your well-being and your ability to move through the world is like capital and you don't have any capital. Mm-hmm.
But I love the brutal truth your messages, like your memes bring. It's cynical, but then you make it like very pink and with like fluffy animals. And it's so hilarious. I love the aesthetic of it.
Thank you.
Is that a reflection of your personality?
Well, yeah. So I very intentionally do it how I do aesthetically, like the colors and specifically the fonts that I use and like which phrases in the meme will be in which font. Like that really heavy metal looking font that I use is usually like the line that's supposed to pack a punch. And then there's like almost always like some little subtext on the bottom that's kind of just like being kind of rude to you, but like in a way that I need to hear. And I've had some people, like a lot of people, find the way that I write helpful. You know, the way that it's like, hey, you bing bong, get off your butt and like, you know, something or whatever I say. I don't know.
It's so unfiltered. It's just brutally true.
Yeah. And a lot of people like that, or I probably wouldn't have followers. But occasionally I've had like maybe two people ever be like, this meme was too rude and you should not say that. And I'm like,
sorry, Brenda.
Yeah. I'm just like, hey, I understand this page might not be for you. That's okay. You don't need to follow me. I don't need everything I make to speak to everyone on the planet. It is absolutely okay if you want to go find an infographic page that posts muted colors with a nice little cursive font and they have a PhD. Like, that's okay. Mm-hmm. You can go find that person and you can go follow that page and that's absolutely fine. It's not going to hurt my feelings. I understand, like, that's something, if you're going to put your art out there in any way, and as a photographer, you're probably well aware of this, you cannot expect everyone to, like, be like, oh, this speaks to me. Like, there's going to be a lot of people that don't like your art, and that's totally fine. There's no way everyone's going to like you or your art. There's people that don't like me, and that is absolutely fine.
Yeah, exactly. What is then the most beautiful message you got from a fan?
Oh my god. Okay, I actually keep a photo album in my phone of screenshots of messages people send me, and it's called Why I Meme, because I've gotten some that like have made me cry. Like when people will reach out and be like, hey, I asked for advice in your story a few months ago and I ended up getting sober, or hey, you helped me get out of an abusive relationship just because one of your memes really told me what I needed to hear, you know, like stuff like that. Like, it hits hard and it's like, wow, I'm not just making cutesy little pictures and putting them into the ether and then nothing happens. It's like, there's people, hundreds of people who tell me, or kind like
impact.
And from like, I write little zines too on different topics. Like I have an attachment zine, a boundary zine, a conflict zine, and a grief zine now. And like people who buy those also have sent me some really, just really powerful feedback about how it's like dramatically changed their life or like helped them figure something out so they could like move past a hurtful situation or something. So like that stuff like really does mean a lot to me, because otherwise really what's the point?
What do you hope for your audience to do with the info or the content?
Yeah, I hope that people know how to scroll past something if it doesn't apply to them, for one. I know a lot of people, like, some people get worked up if something doesn't apply to their situation. And it's like, maybe this just isn't for you, and that's fine. But I really like when people can, you know, figure that out. I think that, I think that's important. That's really important. But what's really been cool to me, I guess, is there's a handful of teachers and therapists that follow me that tell me, like, oh, I've printed out your memes for my youth at my school. And like this youth group that I do, or like I'm a youth counselor and like they really love this stuff. And I'm just like, for some reason that really gets me. I'm like, yes, do that. Steal my content and bring it to your schools and your therapy offices, please.
Yeah. Give those facts at a younger age.
That's the other thing. Yeah. Like, talk to people in your life. Like, if something, even if it's not from me, it doesn't have to be from me, but like if you learn something that transforms you and helps you be a better communicator or navigate conflict better in your friendships, or like reflect on a way that you've maybe been hurtful and you can be a better person or something, like tell your friends when they're doing those things too. That's really important too. I think a lot of people don't hear feedback that they need to from the people that love them about how maybe like, maybe you're the common denominator in a lot of your problems, or, you know, like maybe you're actually being a dick right now and somebody needs
maybe
to tell
you're the
you
waste
that.
Man.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're the waste man in this situation, but your friends, instead of telling you that like a real friend should do, they're hyping you up and pretending you're the good guy every time. And it's like, dude, there's no good guys or bad guys.
Real.
We all have a waste man inside of us, as someone wise once said, and it is important you find that waste man and you love him and you tell your friends when they're being that guy.
Don't be a people pleaser.
No.
Be real.
No, you're not helping anybody by pretending they're always right.
Oh, Oh, it's so hard to follow your own advice sometimes.
Yeah.
And you're like, I know this is going to end bad, but I'm going to do it anyways. I know that person is bad, but yeah. Will I call him? Yes.
Yeah. Nice. Oh, yeah. That's why I had so much content for so many years, you know, making that bad choice you know you shouldn't. I actually know why I have memes about doing that. One of my favorite memes about doing that isn't by me. It's by my friend Ashley, Thought Catalog. And it's, I swear this time will be different. It will be worse. Because we're always like, no, it's going to be different this time if I chase this person who constantly ghosts me. It's going to work out differently this time. And it's like, yeah, it's going to be worse. Yeah. It's going to be worse.
And I'm gonna change that person. He will change for me. He won't, bitch.
No, nobody's going to change for you. If somebody is not enthusiastically choosing you, it's not going to work out. If they're not enthusiastically choosing you, they're not choosing you, and you're just prolonging your pain, and you're probably trying to relive some abandonment wound from childhood or something to find a different ending, but you're not going to find a different ending till you choose different partners. Just choose different partners.
What is the most unpopular opinion? Is that a hard one?
What is my hottest take? I feel like a lot of my, like, hottest takes have been absorbed as to, like, not being hot takes anymore. You know what I mean? Like, more people have kind of been like, yeah, like, that's their hot take too now. Now it's not hot. But,
I'm also gonna check what things I saved from you. But, yeah. Spill the tea.
I think, honestly, internet culture is still at a point where the internet was a mistake in some ways. And we're still engaging in a lot of like toxic, I hate that word, but behavior, and I would like to see it stop. And I feel like there's this like, you know, a lot of us who've been around a little longer, it's not happening anymore, but a lot of the like really self-righteous finding reasons to think somebody said something wrong and to bully and harass them, you're not doing social justice by trying to find something wrong with what somebody said, misconstruing it, and then calling them ableist or something because they casually used the word stupid, and then getting a bunch of random people to bully them off of the internet. You're not doing social justice. You're activating a bunch of people's nervous systems for no reason because you want to feel important. And it is not nice. And you're not being a nice person when you do stuff like that. And it's not cute and it's not nice and it's not doing social justice. You're being an asshole and a bully. You know what I mean? Like, that kind of stuff needs to stop. Yeah. The random witch hunts and, like...
Often anonymously, like, just behind a computer somewhere.
Absolutely.
Being a waste man.
People that you know nothing about, and you find one post they made and you decide to decode it. And I'm not talking about, like, if somebody's being blatantly racist or, like, blatantly transphobic or something, like, yeah, tell them that, you know? And then move on and disengage because it's probably not good for you to sit and focus on it all day and harass people on Twitter also. But, like, I'm saying, like, when people are, like, looking for, you know, a misstep or for somebody to say something wrong or, like, you know, whatever. Yeah. Like, you're being classist. Well, actually, I'm poor. How am I being? You know what I mean? Like, things like that. And it's just, like, you just don't like me and you want to be mad about something. And it's...
Yeah.
Yeah, the internet does that a lot. And that...
They're projecting their own miserable energy.
And I don't have a lot of followers like that, thank God. I used to, but they kind of weeded themselves out. I'm like, go be miserable by yourself. Like, I my follower, and it's also my demographics have changed. The majority of my followers used to be girls ages 18 to 25, and now it's girls aged 25 to 34. So maybe I'm getting a little bit more of mature people who have fully developed prefrontal cortexes and know how to not bully people on the internet now. I don't know. Not talking shit about younger people, but, like, you know, you kind of outgrow acting like that a lot of the time. I know a lot of 35-year-old women on Instagram that get their kicks being online bullies, and that's really sad to me. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I've had to disengage from a lot of the meme community because it's just kind of like that. And I'm just like, okay.
Yikes. But I got my favorite meme. So, true love, I don't want it unless it's so codependent. I have to lie to my therapist. Love that. Love that.
I am also so glad that's not where I am anymore. Oh my God, ouch. That place hurts so bad. I remember... the people I was dating back then.
Yeah, it is from, it's 144 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I don't know which, I think 2018 probably.
Yeah, that's quite an old one. But I probably reposted it too, because I do that too.
And then there is another one, tired of being a disappointment. Learn how to say no, under promise and over deliver. Don't say you're 5 minutes away when you haven't left the house. Stop committing to shit you don't want to do or don't have time for. Communicate to people in your life the expectations they are allowed to have.
Yes. That one's a banger. That one, I every time I repost it, people are like, ah!
Yeah, that one.
And honestly, a lot of those are lessons I learned in my early 20s from my good friend Glitter. I used to be the person who'd be like, yeah, I'm almost there. And I'd be like rolling out of bed. Like, why are you doing that? People are just going to be more irritated when you're not there in five minutes. You're just pissing people off multiple times. But everyone does that.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
People are scared to bring bad news and to disappoint, but then you make it even worse.
You make it worse.
Mm.
And also under promise, over deliver. A lot of people do the opposite. Mm-hmm. They over promise and then they under deliver. And I'm like, say the very bare minimum that you know for a fact you can do, and then probably do more than that.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. You know?
And do you have a favorite one yourself?
Sure. Let's see. What's my favorite one right now? Let me pull these bad boys up. Usually my favorites aren't the ones that blow up. Yeah. This is my current favorite, honestly. I know everything's exhausting and some things you just can't keep up with, especially when you need to sell your time and labor to survive. It's easy to lose creative and social energy. You should never have to choose between rest and joy. How can we help meet each other's financial and material needs so we can sell less of our lives to capitalists and create more art and experience more joy? That's a mood for me right now, as I've been saying. Mm-hmm. So.
Mm-hmm. How are you going to try to feel better about that? Yeah, like reality.
Yeah. And for myself, what that means is, like, I'm trying to survive off of my art more so I can work part-time instead and, like, have more of my life back, right? Because I enjoy writing. I enjoy, you know, those things. So
expressing yourself.
Yeah. And, like, my zines have, you know, done pretty well. So, like, they sell thousands of copies each time I release one. Hundreds. One of them has sold 1,000. I'm like, thousands of guys, like, total for all of them, not, you know, each. But, like, they do pretty...
But what is a zine exactly? Could you...
It's like a little book. So it's...
A little magazine.
Yeah, it's like a short book. But I sell them as PDFs right now because I don't have printing capacity and stuff. And that's better for people overseas because...
Yep.
Yeah.
Save the trees.
So there's a link in my bio for that. Mm-hmm. But then also I'm working with the editor. I was moving, so I took a long break. But now that I'm like settled into my new space, I'm working with an editor on a coffee table book. So it's going to be a big, pretty, colorful, and there's going to be a meme and then writing. And so like lots of that. So I hope that does well because a lot of people ask me if I'm ever going to do that. I'm like, hey, all you therapists that print out my memes, buy my coffee table book for your therapy office.
I was gonna say word and period at the same time. Weird.
Is that when you have a weird period? It's called a weird.
It's late here. It's late in Belgium. It's 7 p.m. My brain is already like slowly like doo 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 doo.
Yeah.
But yeah,
it's noon over a lot here. Of friends, so,
do a lot of friends come to you for advice, and do you use it as inspiration?
I mean, I don't like to give advice. I know that sounds fake because of what I do, but if you notice, like on my Instagram stories and stuff, I never say you should do this. Mm-hmm. I always say what I would do or what I did when I was in that situation.
That info.
Or I say I don't know. I can't imagine being in that situation. I'd probably do this, you know, but that's like, I don't do like, you should do this ever because who the fuck am I to know? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't know your life. Mm-hmm. I know what I would do. I know what I did, you know, but I know what worked for me and I know what didn't work for me, you know, but that's the best. But like, I have really, my close friendships, we have really good, like mutual, there's lots of reciprocity and like going to each other with our problems and like having a really healthy reflection and like Like my best friend, Kurt, very wonderful, emotionally in touch, cis straight, like male, like heterosexual male, but honestly has helped inspire some of my memes from when I was having a problem and I had a conversation with him and he just like gave me that, like that aha moment where I was like, bro, that's it. And now also I'm going to make a meme about what I just learned from this conversation with you. So it's just like, you know, we're all responsible for giving that honesty and that love to the people in our lives. And I receive it from the people in my life just as much as I give it. And I'm in therapy. I see my therapist every Monday. Every Monday. Yeah. I get a lot from that too. You know, it's...
I heard like you... Like everyone should go to therapy, or should. I mean, but the therapy is beneficial for anyone.
That's the thing, So I mean, I think
to understand,
I think you know it's probably good for everyone to find something that's going to help them, you know, walk through unpacking their traumas and processing those things, or like integrating their waste man. Into their, you know, like it's helpful. Is therapy necessarily for everyone? Depends on what kind of therapy you're talking about. A lot of people have this idea of it being some, you know, old white man at a hospital office or something. And it's like, that doesn't have to be what it is. Like people are like, therapy is not culturally sensitive. And I'm like, well, that depends on what therapist you're finding. You know, my therapist agrees with me when I'm talking about capitalism and police and all those things, and is like also like leftist and abolitionist minded, and is also queer, and their partner's trans, and I feel like when I walk in the door they have a baseline understanding of who I am as a person and my values, and we share a lot of values, and so I don't have to be on guard in that way. My therapist before her, I walked in and I was wearing a hat that said pervert on it. And he was like, pervert, what's that about? And I was like, it's just a hat. It's just because I'm gay. And he goes, just because you're gay doesn't make you a pervert. And I was like, oh my God. And I walked out and I never went back. I was like, why am I in a clinic seeing this old married white dude who has no concept of my life or what it's like? Because he's going to sit there and try to like dig into the wrong things, and like I'm gonna consistently feel misunderstood, and like what's the point, right? And I think a lot of people have had those experiences, and so they don't realize that there's like other options out there if you have insurance. And see, I also live in America, and in America I'm lucky. The job that I have that takes a lot of my time that I'm complaining about gives me really good health insurance, and I get to go to therapy for free every week. That is unheard of. A lot of people here will never have that experience. The United States is a scam, and it is a, we live in a giant slum, and it is disgusting, and people are treated like garbage here. And like, I feel like people that don't live in the United States, like based on how people portray themselves on social media and stuff, probably think like people live kind of luxuriously, or like, no dude, people here are fucked and can't even go to the doctor.
A bit more about you as a person.
Yes.
How would you describe your evolution from 5 years?
Oh my.
Let's say 5 years.
Oh my God. 5 years ago was 2017. Yeah. So 5 years ago, I mean, I started this round of therapy with this good therapist that I found in 2018. So I would say 5 years ago, I was still very much in my like disorganized, mostly anxious attachment. I was in these cycles of unhealthy relationships where it was like, no, don't leave. You know what I mean? And I was doing a lot of long distance dating, which was just gross and expensive and like getting caught up in like dating other internet people and like, oh, it was so bad. And that stuff wasn't the best, and I wasn't I was in a phase of my life where I wasn't involved very much in a lot of activism and stuff, and I don't know, things were a lot different that long ago. I wasn't on testosterone yet. What else was going on? Yeah, I didn't live alone then. Yeah. I don't know. I think the past 5 years, I've probably had more growth than I have in many other periods of my life. Mm-hmm. I was already sober mm-hmm. 5 years ago. I've been sober for 8.5 years, mm-hmm. which is cool. Oh, I've been drinking coffee. And in 2017, I quit drinking coffee. And I quit for 4.5 years. I just started drinking coffee again this year when I was on that road trip I was just talking about. Mm-hmm. But now I have a healthy mm-hmm. relationship with coffee.
That's good.
For a while, it was like driving my anxiety and it was...
Oh, yeah, I mean, if you have too much coffee, like I get
yeah.
breathing problems.
Yeah, I used to drink way too much cold brew. It was just like...
Bad.
Bad, yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, in the past 5 years, I've, like, completely, like, really, 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 like, understanding, like, the way that I was my own problem and the way that I was getting in my own way, not to a fault of my own, but because of, like, traumas and things I went through when I was younger. But, like, the past 5 years, I've really, like, worked through so much of that shit. And now I am able to show up in a healthy way in my life and in a partnership. And that's not mm-hmm. something that, like, I'm not going to sit here and pretend I wasn't ever a part of the problem. I used to be, you know, 50% of the problem in all of my relationships. Even if I wasn't doing anything fucked up in the relationship, I was choosing people that were exactly like the people I had chosen before, right? That were going to do the same hurtful shit. And so it's just like, I let all of that go. I, like, took an honest look at myself. Yeah. And I've been able to, like, develop really good routines. I've become a morning person.
Ew.
I know. I used to be like this like nocturnal, like, oh, if I have a morning job, I'll get fired because I'll be late every day because I just can't wake up in the morning. And now I'm like, I wake up at 7 and I'm just like, if I sleep to like 10 or something, I feel like I wasted the whole day.
I think the quality of life of morning persons is probably better.
I'm just a healthier person now. And so like all of those things are, you know, they've kind of clicked into place.
I try to be. Sometimes it works. I used to work in a factory and I had morning shifts and I had to start working at 5 a.m. So that obliged me to
5 a.m. Yeah. No.
No way. Yeah. But also you were saying I used to pick the same person, like the same type of person.
And that's what a lot of people do.
I do that.
Yeah, you do. Everyone does that until they recognize it and decide not to. Who's the person you pick over and over again?
It's the person that is impossible long term. Like it's not relationship material of any kind. It's always like, or he is in an open relationship, or he lives at the other end of the world, or he is actually disrespectful and doesn't have time for me. But then when he has time for me, I feel special. Like that used to be one guy. So
do you know why you do that?
I think because I haven't really had any mainstream relationship. I mean, like the traditional relationship that has outcome, that has, you know, perspective.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Now I got used to it and it's like, I look for those things that make it atypical to not get bored.
That's the other thing. Yeah. It excites your system. You know what I mean? Like the ups and downs. It feels like this exciting like love, this infatuation, and then they disappear and then they come back or whatever. And it's like these highs and lows and you get addicted to that. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like you keep choosing those people because I asked when I first started therapy, I straight up asked my therapist, I was like, does healthy love just feel boring and like indifference? Because I'm scared of that and that sounds terrible. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And she was like, well, no, but it's probably, you know, like it's not this like roller coaster.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I've grown to like a slow burn. I like taking things slow with somebody, but you said, or they're not monogamous. So are you monogamous at heart?
I don't know.
That's what I used to say. I'm monogamous at heart. Yeah. And I used to date non-monogamous people and I would be in non-monogamous relationships. And I was like, yeah, sure. Like I don't get really super jealous or anything like that. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. like, I believe mm-hmm. you can love more than one person at once. So yeah, I'll do mm-hmm. this. But personally, I don't have the time, mm-hmm. the attention span, or I never have mm-hmm. romantic feelings for more than one person at a time. I always still just end up focused on that one person. And mm-hmm. so I would end up in these relationships with people who, you know, they'd get super wrapped up in me and I'd get super wrapped up in them. And then they'd find somebody new and shiny and they would start treating me like shit and dating this new shiny person, but still dating me. Mm-hmm. And then when I would be mm-hmm. like, hey, you're forgetting about me, they'd be like, ah! And act like I was being some monster for expecting anything from them.
Yeah, yeah,
yep.
yeah.
And then they would like either yeah. ghost me or act like I was being absolutely insane. And I'm just mm-hmm. like, no, we talked about building a life together and now you're running off and not even communicating with me at all. And like, this is, I didn't even know you were dating this new person. Like, this is so weird. And that
that's just, a wasteman trait, by the way. Yeah. We have discussed that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and the thing is like, yeah. you are, I made a decision in the beginning of 2020 that I would never date somebody who wasn't monogamous ever again. If yeah. you're like, I'm polyamorous, yeah. I'm like, oh, this isn't a good match. We can bang it out, but like, that's it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I stopped yeah. dating people that didn't fit in with what I knew I needed. I need yeah. a partner who also wants to actually give me the time and attention to build a life together.
Yeah. yeah
and when
yeah.
I stopped yeah. dating people who weren't open to that, I found that.
Was that yeah. person genuine and upfront?
The person I'm dating now?
No, like when oh, that person was then mad because you held them oh, accountable.
Those were people who were just like, you know, we're both polyamorous queers and we're just polyamorous and like whatever. But they would be super wrapped up in me. And that wasn't just one person. This is like mm-hmm. a cycle, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like what a lot of people that say they're polyamorous do. And this is another hot take I have that pisses a lot of people off, I think. But like a lot of people that say they're polyamorous aren't actually polyamorous. They're just dating around yeah. and they don't want to be accountable to having any healthy relationships. So what they do is they get like really into somebody and like go full into that. And then when they start to get bored or the new relationship energy or the excitement starts to fade, they find somebody new and shiny. And then they never have to mm-hmm. be alone. They never have to really experience what a breakup feels like because they're always wrapped up in somebody new. And then they demonize the last person and decide, you're bad, you're clingy, I hate you. And then they get to like go through life never having to look at how they treat people or how they're part of the problem, never having to actually feel the emotional impact of being alone or sitting with themselves or mm-hmm. experiencing the heartbreak of a breakup, right? All mm-hmm. of that. And they're mm-hmm. like, I'm polyamorous. And I'm like, no, you're emotionally irresponsible. I stopped giving my energy and my time and my mental space to people that treated me like that, because mm-hmm. what that did was it made it impossible for me to be open to people that wouldn't treat me like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's a hard yeah. change to make, but you'll keep getting worse lessons until you finally learn it. I went yeah. through the same shit over and over again, and then I finally started wasting my time on this one person. I think they're a good person. I consider them a friend, even though we don't ever hang out, you know, but they mm-hmm. ghosted me all the time. And it wasn't because they were off with other people or doing things like that. They were so depressed though, that like, they'd tell me they were on their way to my house and then they would just ghost me for 3 days. Yeah. And I tolerated that because I felt bad about their mental health. I was like, oh, it's okay. Like, let's figure this out. Yeah. I let this person like drive me absolutely bonkers. And then one day I just woke up and I was like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. You are so fixated on, mm-hmm. and why? And I had to reflect on the fact that like, I wasn't actually ready to be in a healthy, stable relationship. Otherwise I wouldn't be choosing people mm-hmm. who were showing me over and over again, they wanted nothing like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I was playing out the same narrative over and over again that I had to chase people and they would abandon me or something stupid. You know what I mean? And it's like, okay, mm-hmm. one day I just had to be like, I'm not doing this anymore. And what it comes down to is you are responsible for the choices you're making and what you allow yourself to put up with, you know, mm-hmm. as much as that sucks. And so mm-hmm. it really comes down to like, I had to ask myself, what do I actually want out of a relationship? And deciding that I was more happy being with myself and not in a relationship than settling for less than that. And taking the crumbs that people were willing to give me that actually weren't what I wanted, I stopped settling for crumbs.
But I was seeing someone stable, like a traditional kind of relationship. But then that intimacy was not it. And I, after some time, I even felt uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I really outgrew that. And then I got into this stage or state where I was like, okay, I really want something that brings out the fire in me. I want the passion. And then I saw the guy with the open relationship again. And
you can have both. You can have both. Here's something that I need to promise you, because this was something that I was scared of before I like broke my habits of chasing people that suck. A healthy partnership doesn't mean there's not chemistry. You just didn't have chemistry with that person. That just wasn't the person for you. In a partnership for me, like, I can have that passion and that chemistry and that ability to make each other laugh and to be honest with each other and challenge each other as people and all of that, and still have them be a stable person in my life. You know, it's not like only the toxic
person. I'm waiting for that day.
Yeah, well, for me, I didn't find that day until I stopped focusing my attention and energy on people that weren't giving me what I actually wanted and needed.
Yeah. That's on periods. I know. I'm going to act upon it sooner or later. After some dick appointments still.
You know what? After some. Get dick down. That's fine. Get dick down as much as you want to. Just protect your heart.
Did I have some essential questions left? Yes. So you're also posting about body positivity. You have this thing, I don't know for how long it has been going on, but like this extreme body positivity of people ignoring the fact that, I mean, all bodies are beautiful, but some body types can endanger your health, like physically.
I actually don't really do body positivity stuff. I'm body neutral. I believe in being body neutral. My body is this thing that I live in. And I don't need to celebrate it publicly on the internet to feel good about myself. And I also don't need to shame myself on the internet or feel bad about myself and do weird diet culture shit either. I do challenge some body types are unhealthy, blah, blah, blah kind of stuff. Because, okay, I had a doctor who didn't like the fact that I'm chubby. And wanted to find some reason to say my health was bad, right? And she was like, well, let's talk about your weight. And I was like, okay, what about it? And she goes, well, I know you have high cholesterol. And I said, that's not true. I said, actually, I get my cholesterol labs done every year and they're always, mwah, chef's kiss, perfect. And she goes, oh, I could have sworn. And she looks in her computer and goes, oh, you're right. Well, you have high blood pressure. And I said, no, I don't. My blood pressure is always perfect. It's, you know, 110 over 70 every single time. Look in my chart. And she looks and she goes, oh, well, your family has a history of, and I was like, no, that's not true. I said, you don't like my body and you're trying to find some reason to decide that my body is unhealthy.
To judge it.
And that's not true. I am not pre-diabetic. I have perfect blood pressure. I have perfect blood sugar. I have perfect cholesterol. Okay. And I got really thick thighs and a belly. And that's my body. And my I'm actually healthy as fuck. Any one size fits all, like your body's bad, my body's good, bodies that look like that are unhealthy, bodies that look like that are healthy. Like, I know people that they don't get told that they need to take care of their health and they're like fitness bloggers, but they're actually not eating or on methamphetamines. I used to be on meth. I used to, you know, be addicted to stimulants and I was 90 pounds and everyone told me how great I looked. And then I got sober and I got healthy and I eat good nutrition and I exercise regularly and I'm chubby now. And people will just try to tell me I have health problems because I'm fat. And I'm like, well, actually, I had health problems before and I'm the healthiest I've ever been in my life.
Yeah, a healthy mind and a healthy body.
Yeah, so I think that it's really like people need to disconnect health from thinness in their mind because that's not true. And then we need to get our other people's bodies aren't our business. And other people's and just, health aren't our yeah. business. And my body and my health isn't anybody's business. And you can't make assumptions about it based on looking at me.
Yeah.
At the same time, I personally think that it's important for us to, you know, take care of the vessels that we have to live in. It's the one vessel that we mm-hmm. get to live in. I understand that's going to look different for different people, which is why I never tell other people what they should do. What I do mm-hmm. for myself, because I want to live. I love my life and I want to live. And I think life mm-hmm. is a precious gift. And it's a thing we get once. And the older I get, the more I feel that way. I ride my bike all the time. I go to the gym. I do strength training. I want to be strong. I like being healthy. Mm-hmm. I like having a healthy heart. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? I do eat desserts and I like baking. But I also make sure that I get nutrition. You know what I mean? Yeah, I go to the doctor regularly. Yeah. I get blood labs done all the time. And I make sure that everything is how it should be.
Yeah, there is just like youngsters who read the message. Like
I get what you're getting at. And I kind of feel like, you know, there's a gray area, right? It doesn't have to be black and white, one or the other. And I think that's where mm-hmm. when I say the internet was a mistake, the internet really mm-hmm. often refuses to see nuance at all. And it's either if you're fat, you're unhealthy, so you need to go to the gym, and assuming that fat people don't go to the gym. Or it's all bodies are beautiful and nobody has to exercise and everything's fine. Yeah. And it's like, okay, there's actually this gray space.
That's not the message. It's not about...
That's not the message. Yeah, it's like mm-hmm. your body is what it is and you shouldn't have to waste a second feeling bad about it. And you shouldn't be stuck into unhealthy diet culture because that's way more unhealthy. You know what I mean? That's mm-hmm. way more unhealthy. Mm-hmm. But like also like, yeah... A lot of people lose the message and they forget like this is also still the one body you get and doing movement mm-hmm. that feels good for you is important, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm. Educate yourself with the right sources, like with trustful, non-biased sources.
Yeah, use your brain, use nuance, sit in gray areas. Yeah. Gray areas are fine places to be. You can be fat and love your body and still exercise. Like, I have friends who have realized, hey, I might have a health problem and losing weight would help it. And then they want to do that. But then like they feel shame from people on the internet like, oh, you're trying to lose weight. You're supposed to feel good about your body. As a fat person, when I started going to the gym a few years back, I had another fat person tell me I was fat phobic because I was going to the gym.
That's another thing I read.
And I'm like, I'm supposed to stay... Yeah. Not moving my body because you're scared I'm going to lose weight at the gym and that means I don't like fat people? Because I'm trying to build strength and be happy and be strong and healthy in my body? Because I'm trying to do what feels good for me? Because I enjoy getting out for one. That's how I get the anxiety and trauma out of my body is by moving my body. It's something me and my therapist like have really worked on for me is like I need to be doing strength training because it helps get that out of me. I'm just like, you're going to tell me I'm fat phobic as a fat person. Because
and that person calls themselves a body positivist, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you mm-hmm. shame other people for having their own personal relationship with their body. And I'm like, so everyone who's ever been fat is supposed to stay fat. Yeah. And they can't be fat and work out at the same time because that means they're trying to be skinny. Nobody's trying to be skinny just because they're fucking exercising.
There'll always be haters.
Yeah. You can't do everything right. You can't satisfy everyone on the internet, which is why I said, yes, there's people that don't like me. There will always be people that don't like you. And there will always be people that like to take social justice language and twist it into bullying people on the internet. You're fat phobic because you're fat and you go to the gym. Really? Okay, cancel me for being fat phobic then.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Cancel me for being fat phobic. For riding my bike while fat. Fat people shouldn't ride bikes because you're fat phobic. What the fuck is wrong with you? Like, this just, it does work me. Like, that is the point of it that really works me up. I'm just like, okay, all right.
Go.
You're doing a really good social justice on the internet by bullying fat people for riding their bikes.
Yeah.
Good job, everyone.
In what world?
You really killed fat phobia there. You really did a body positive. You get a fucking award because you activated someone's nervous system and bullied them on the internet for taking care of themselves.
I'm glad I couldn't have made that point any better.
Like, Jesus Christ. Yeah, it is. It blows my mind. The length people go to. I'm like, if you feel bad that I'm exercising, because I want to be strong and I want to live long. You're projecting your own weird shit onto me, and that has nothing to do with me. I'm not telling you you need to go exercise. I'm not saying anything about you. I'm not even saying I need to exercise. I'm saying I want to. I like how it feels. That's something I want to do.
Let me do me, do you.
Exactly.
Respectfully.
I don't have to live my life how somebody else thinks is their good political statement. My life isn't your political statement. This is the one life and the one body I get, and I'm going to try to, you know, live them happy and long.
Yeah.
That's just what I'm trying to do.
Without feeling better about it to anyone.
I'm not.
As you should too.
I'm not anybody else's political statement. And I think once you have a certain amount of followers too, people hold you to some weird standard. Like, oh, well, you're not saying enough about this, or you're not doing this, or you're not doing that. And like, if you're talking about exercising while fat, while you have followers, like you're giving other. And I'm like, I'm not doing some weight loss thing. I never have once said that. I would never do that. You know what I mean? I'm not promoting diet teas. I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm just riding my bike and lifting weights. I'm riding my bike and lifting weights. You know?
Exactly.
And yeah, people wanting to hold you to their values on the internet. I'm like, you're a stranger. You don't know me, and I don't have to live up to your values on the internet and your weird projections. And that's why it's really important. Another one of my favorite memes of mine, I don't remember what it says, but the whole point is like how other people like filter the things you say and do on the internet through their own shit and like perceive it. Yeah, you're going to be misunderstood a lot of the time, and that's okay. You got to learn to live with being misunderstood. Because we're not made to have hundreds of thousands of people viewing us, perceiving us, and absorbing information about millions of people every day. It's like you're going
to
be disliked.
You have to justify yourself at all times either.
You know, you don't have to destroy yourself all the time, and you also don't have to make your life somebody else's political statement. You literally don't have to do that.
That's a good point to end upon.
Get me all worked up and then...
I mean, is there anything else you wanted to add?
No, I'm gonna go take a night with my girlfriend and her dog and have fun. And thank you for this. This was really fun. I liked talking
with you. I had good laughs.
Yeah, good
fun.
Well, if you ever want to have me back, you know.
Of course.
Just,
I'll slide
back
DMs.
In those DMs.
thank you, Odie. It was a big, big pleasure.
Yeah.
Have fun on your trip. Thanks to the audience for listening. We'll talk to you later with more Wasteman behavior.
Bye.
Bye.
Letters to Wasteman.